most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat, perky style. So you get excitement, entertainment, not one of those dull, boring, blah, blah, blah shows. We try to get guests that are really fun and active. Now, we'll provide you with tips and advice and resource information on how you can pursue a career in show business or entertainment. So we usually have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. So that means that sooner or later, you're going to have somebody from a career that you're interested in, whether it's singer, actor, dancer, model, musician, director, producer, behind the scenes people as well. And next year in 2010, we're really going to have a big focus on behind-the-scenes jobs such as script supervisor, director of photography, makeup person, personal stylist. We're going to have a whole bunch of fun people for you to show you that there are lots of cool jobs behind the scenes as well. Now, if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can visit our website directly, and it has a list of all the guests for the whole entire year. And that website is questionreality.us, not .com, .us. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen or download any of the shows, you have the option to do that right on the website. Now, if you're on there now listening to the show, what you do is you click on the link at the top, and it says Schedule One link. And again, that's at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. And then you look for our show, Question Reality, and it's in the time slot Sunday at 5 p.m. Just click on the link, and that'll take you directly to the archive page. And there you can peruse at your own leisure and just scroll down and look at all of the guests that we have. And you can hit play, and that will play the show immediately. And there's just instant playback. It's fantastic. If you click download, you right-click it, and then you can save the show directly to your computer, so you can save any show that you want. You can also download us on iTunes. We're under the podcast section. So if you go to iTunes, our shows are on there as well. Now, we would love to have you call in and ask any questions of our guests. Again, the show is live, so you can call in and you get us directly. You don't talk to anyone that screens you. And if you want to provide comments, ask any questions, we do ask that you call between 5:20 and 5:30. That way the guests have the ability to acclimate and just kind of get started, and they're not bombarded immediately with questions. Now, the number should be right in front of you, because it's a live show, but if you want to jot it down or give it to someone in the future, it's 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And we have a fantastic guest for you this week, as always. His name is Sacha Sackett, and he is an American pop rock singer and songwriter, and we are going to hear from him in a minute. But I have your intro topics today. A lot of people wanted to know what exciting things were going on that were worthy to mention. And one of the two things is it's called Ascent Hollywood, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But it's on November the 18th, and they're going to have speakers Rachel Miller, and she's from the website showmethescreenplay.com. showmethescreenplay.com, love that title, and Simon Lamb. and he's from SRL Law. And they are going to be discussing the art and science of independent film finance and distribution, which is very important if you're an independent filmmaker. And you want to get tips on how you can get investors, learn more about getting financial help and distribution. So that's going to be 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that is in the East-West Lounge. East-West Lounge, and that's 8851 Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. And that is, it's really weird. Most people say, is there a cover charge? This is a strange thing. I cannot confirm nor deny that it's either free or $15. That is what I got. I do not know. I guess it's free for some and $15 for another. I don't know how they figure it out, but be prepared for $15, and it's well worth it, because if you need to know where to get a good distribution and find financial investors, it's worth $15. Now, another event is happening on November the 20th, and that is the Creative Talent Network Animation Expo, Creative Talent Network CTN Animation Week, and that is it's with the first annual CTN Animation Expo, CTNX, and that's where you can go and you can mix and mingle with some of the top animation artists from the digital domain, DreamWorks, people from DreamWorks, Nickelodeon, Walt Disney Animation, and Sony ImageWorks are going to be there. So that's going to be really, really, really huge for you guys that want to get involved in that. It's definitely someplace you should go. And that's going to be at the Burbank Marriott Convention Center. And I'm going to give you a phone number for that. All I have is a phone number. It's 1-800-604-2238. 1-800-604-2238. So definitely go and check that out, because we need more animated films. They're just getting so good these days. As a matter of fact, my husband and I are going to go see, what is the title with the Jim Carrey? Oh, I can't think of it, but it's out right now, the holiday movie. I can't think of it. I've seen it a million times, can't think of the title. Oh, well, anyway, you get 3D glasses. That's why we're going. So check it out. Great, great activities going on. Now, our first guest, again, Sacha Sackett. Who doesn't love that name, first of all? Sacha Sackett. Oh, God, it just sounds like it could be a museum. It could be a great food that you order. You could go smooshing and get a Sacha Sackett special. The name is perfect. Or it could be a huge, huge, huge rock and pop star, which is what he is, and we are going to find out a little tiny bit about him. He is an LA-based American pop rock singer-songwriter, and he has written and released 3 LPs. The titles are, and I love these titles, I have to find out how he came up with these titles. The first one is Alabaster Flesh. Love that title, because I myself don't want to be buried or cremated. I want, when I die, I want to go and be put in snow in the Arctic, because when they retrieve you, your flesh is like alabaster. Heard all about it. That's what I want to do. So that was really attractive to me, that title. Now we also have Shadowed and Lovers and Leaders. Now that is a very cool title. Want to know what those are about as well. So, and a live album, let's see, since 2001. Sacha is now about, very exciting for him, he's now about to release his upcoming fourth album, which is called Hermitage, and that is coming out, very exciting, he should be excited, it's coming out in a couple days on November the 17th. And Sacha has performed at hundreds of colleges, live music venues, and he's had his music in rotation on over 150 independent college and NPR stations. So he's definitely out there on the circuit. And if you could see his photograph, you would know that the women are probably clawing and pawing him up, because he is a little hottie. Everybody says, well, Priscilla, you always have these hot guys on your show. Well, that's my goal, of course, but he is a real hottie. You got to check out his website. It's SachaSackett.com. And let me spell that. It's kind of original. S-A-C-H-A-S-A-C-K-E-T. Sacha Sackett. And as soon as you go on there, you're going to hear this song. Oh, my God. Now, that one is my favorite, I do have to say. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And he plays, I'm going to find out the title of that song a little later, because I've had a couple people email me who got the blast and said, oh, my God, I love that song. What's the title? I'm like, oh, God, I have to wait till Sunday to find out. Now, Sacha is well known for playing piano. He plays a variety of keyboards. He plays guitar. And his style, he's been compared to similar artists such as Rufus Wainwright and Nick Drake, Sarah McLachlan, and Radiohead. Now, again, back to that song, when I pulled up his website originally and heard that song, I went a little crazy because I was like, oh, my God, this guy sounds like one of my favorite singers. And I'm going to ask him if... I'm going to ask him right now because he's been patiently waiting. Sacha Sackett, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, you know what? Hey, sweetie, thank you and welcome to the show. I was just telling the audience that when I pulled up your website, that song just drove me crazy because I loved it so much. You've been compared to such artists like Rufus Wainwright, Nick Drake, Sarah McLachlan, and Radiohead. Have you ever been compared to the person who I thought you sounded like, Chris de Burgh, the guy who sang Lady in Red?
Oh, my gosh. I've never gotten that, but I love that song.
Oh, my God. You got to re-listen to that, honey, because I'm telling
you, that
is the first. I mean, that is the song. Of course, I went insane because that's like one of my favorites. And I thought, oh, my God, he sounds just like Chris de Burgh. Not just like him, but just kind of like him. And you had like a European-type sound to you, or a British sound. And I thought, oh, well, he's L.A.-based, so in your bio says you're an L.A.-based singer-songwriter. Are you from Los Angeles?
I am. My parents, I'm kind of a mix. My mom is actually from England.
Oh!
So maybe that seeps in somehow.
That's what I heard! Oh, my God! Boy, my ear is so finely tuned. I heard that little accent. I heard your mother come
you
right
heard my mom. Yeah, there you go.
Tell Mom, good job. I harassed him and yelled at him so much that he's got my accent when he gets emotional singing. Great. Oh,
yeah.
My God. And your dad, what nationality is he? I believe he's, did I read that?
He's Iranian.
Iranian, yes. Yeah, so you get your good looks, huh? All the foreign men. See, it's true. All the foreign men got the dark, mysterious, hot look. So, yeah.
I never got the skin though. I got my mother's white skin. Definitely, I'm very pale. Very few people know I'm half Iranian. So,
You look. I looked at you. I said, well, you definitely look European. You got the gorgeous British skin. I too am very fair skin. Can't tan worth shit. It's just terrible. We can't tan.
It's true.
Our ancestors. Now let me ask you, when did you want, this is a question most people want to know, because a lot of people, when I find that there are two types of people in the world, people who know what they want to do at a very, very early age, and then people who go through life and just never really find themselves, which is fine, because both paths are a journey. It just depends on whatever you are destined to become. Now, when did you know that you wanted to become a singer or songwriter?
Well, you know, I played piano at a really young age, and I sort of taught myself. I took some lessons, but I mostly taught myself how to do music, and I spent, you know, every day on the piano. I mean, that's all, kind of all I did. I mean, everybody that I grew up with, that was sort of the memory. It was me just being on the piano while all the other kids were sort of playing in the backyard or something.
Was that the instrument that you heard and that attracted your ear? Because a lot of people say, I want to be a musician, but there's so many instruments. Children, I talk to children a lot, and they say, there's so many instruments, I don't know what to focus on. How did you know that piano was your thing rather than guitar?
Well, I think that we just had a piano at the house, and my mom used to play, and I mean, it wasn't like I had like 50 instruments to choose from, really. If there was a saxophone around, you never know, you know? I could have been Kenny G or something. It's like, who knows what's going on.
Oh, well, see, that answered the question right there. You have to play whatever the hell is in your house or whatever's available,
yeah.
Right? It was put there for a reason.
Exactly.
So when you had the piano, it was in your house. Was that because your parents played piano?
My mom played. I was really young. I was about 5, and I remember them buying a piano. I actually remember the first time I touched a piano. It's kind of weird, but I really remember that moment.
Why?
It was very, you know.
Scare you, or?
No, it was almost like, I mean, when you're a kid, I really lived in my own fantasy land, and, you know, I would touch it, and I was trying to act like I already knew how to play it to impress everybody in the store. I was making a mess, I'm sure, but I thought it sounded amazing, and I thought everybody was amazed with me. So it sort of, you know, I think that sort of set the tone for the rest of my life, actually.
You thought you were a little Liberace, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, but you know what might have happened is that was, because you still remember that moment, that was like the connective spark that set the path in motion for you to become a singer-songwriter. And you may not have known it at the time, but you know it now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they bought the piano and they brought it home, and did you get lessons from your mom, or did they hire someone, or did you just jump on? I know you said you're self-taught, but could you just jump on like that, or did you have like
no.
I mean,
I had to be taught, you know. My mom put me in lessons, and okay. I did it for about 2 years. I was really young, and I learned how to read, you know, and I learned all that, but I hated it after a while. I was sort of like all most kids are, you know. I really hated lessons, and I didn't want to do it.
Okay.
So we stopped, and then I got really sad, and I my mom would play, and I'd get kind of jealous, you know, and I really wanted to learn how to play,
yeah.
You know, what she was doing. So I just started, just reading classical music was basically how I started, and I kind of taught myself how music works. In a lot of ways, you know, playing by ear and understanding, like, the mechanics. I kind of reinvented the wheel in a way. But
so
I couldn't be told. I had to teach myself.
Okay, so the music that, of course, we can tell you're independent and fierce. Question for you. The music, a lot of kids say when they get started playing music, their inspirations are things like the Beatles and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. Was your musical inspiration classical music, as you just said, or was it a mixture of various types of music that you learned to play?
You know, it was Beethoven, it was Mozart, it was Chopin. I mean, it really was that for me. Yeah, I loved it. You know, Beethoven's so dark and melancholy. It's sort of, that's totally me in a lot of ways.
So as a kid, you were dark and moody already. I can imagine.
I was.
Where's the bottle?
I'm a moody boy.
Did you take your pills before the interview?
I'm a moody kid. So I am. I just love the passion and the, you know, sort of like the you know, like an ocean, you know, in the middle of a storm, or, you know, I've always loved the drama in a way, and
right.
It just suits me. Yeah, I love it. So.
And plus, it sounds really cool when you get to pound on the keyboard like Mozart did. I imagine he just pounded away. But you would have learned to become a very good sight reader learning classical first. Is that correct?
I did. That was sort of my thing, actually. I never read. I rarely read music anymore. It's kind of funny. So my sight reading's kind of shot a little bit. I can still sort of do it, but, you know, I can look at a piece and usually play it if it's pretty, you know, not crazy or anything.
Mm.
But now it's mostly by ear. I mean, I play everything, but.
Yeah, get in there and do your, Well, with classical training, I mean, they say that's the best way to go. You do become the great sight reader, and it finally tunes your ear for a lot of people. Some people it doesn't work at all. Now, I love the titles Love the titles of your albums. Now, I got to know, well, how did you come up with those titles? Let's start with Alabaster Flesh, because there's always, just like when people choose an email address, I'm always curious to know why they chose that name. Or whenever they choose titles, you want to know what the story is behind it. At least I do. I wonder weird things like that. Where did the titles come from? Let's start with Alabaster Flesh, my favorite.
You know, well, one thing is
I'm because you're from England and you're all white.
Exactly. There you go. That's one part.
Go ahead.
But the other idea was spiritual flesh. It was the idea of spiritual, making the spiritual, bringing it into a sort of physical form. It was very conceptual. I do tend to, I love the conceptual stuff. So the album's like a hero's tale in a way. Each song is sort of a journey and a hero. I'm telling a story, basically a big story, like my own Homer's Odyssey in a way. And it was just, it's a lot about, it's sort of like the spiritual journey, basically. And so
from when you were a child up until that point, the spiritual journey?
You know, I graduated college and I was sort of up in Berkeley, actually. And I don't know, maybe I was, you know, catching some of the fumes from around me or something. I don't know what it was, but I was very, you know, I was sort of in my own world all of a sudden, and I had to figure out what I wanted to do, and everything seemed very unknown. I sort of felt like I was, you know, figuring out where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that album kind of came together. And
now,
actually, that's when I became a singer-songwriter, basically. It was
really?
Writing that record. Yeah, of course.
Really?
First record, so.
Well, what had you done prior to that? Were you just going around doing gigs, doing standards and covers? Because we're jumping from a kid to you being in college. What did you do for your musical release up to that point?
I always wrote songs. I mean, mm-hmm. from about 15, I think I started writing my own songs, and I'd been writing some my own, like, albums of songs on my own, you know, just sort of recording them and making them myself. But I actually didn't think I was going to do music. If anything, I thought I was going to do film, get involved with film, or even at one point an engineer. And then I kind of graduated college, and it was sort of like, you know, I spent all my time playing music. Maybe I should consider, you know, like, really doing it. You know, I that's what I did all the time. It just wasn't apparent to me. For some reason, it was not apparent to me to do it.
That's what the audience wants to hear, because if you can get to your level of success and you didn't know what the hell you wanted to do, then that's, like, really cool, because that tells everybody else, hey, your parents may force you to get a degree in mathematics, but that doesn't mean you have, once you're out of college, you're free.
Absolutely.
You can do what you want. So what did you major in college?
I did film, actually. I majored in film, critical studies, and production some, too. So,
but see, because in music you could have done scoring, you could have become
exactly.
a composer. So that's kind of related. At least you were in the realm, in the film. It wasn't like you were going to be an archaeologist or something. Where you just
I flirted with engineering. I was always good at math. You know, musicians tend to like the math, too, in a strange way. They're
that's
related
true.
In a way.
That's true.
So,
I have found that.
Yeah.
That's so weird. And math was my worst subject. Maybe that's why I sing out a tune. wow. So at least with engineering, I don't know, you could have whistled while you drafted, I would imagine.
Yeah, but, I guess.
I think film was the better route to go for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it always
was all about following my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so did you collect the songs? So when you started writing at 15, you just sort of collected them and kept them with you.
Yeah, it was for me. You know, I did it for me, I've always written songs. It's always been something I do for myself. Even now, you know, I have to, and it's sort of, I think it's a, you know, it's therapeutic in a way. It helps me understand where I'm at in my life. It helps contextualize my life for me in a way. I don't really know what's going on until I almost write the song about it. So
it's like being a writer. Would you say that, see, what you're saying is really great, because people may, write stuff down, and they may think, well, do I want to go the path of being a writer? Why do I have to write these things down? Am I supposed to be a writer? Am I supposed to be a songwriter? So what you're saying is that it's almost like being a novelist of some sort, but you just put it towards music. It's just geared towards music, correct? So
yeah,
when people
yeah.
are kind of confused, how would you say that they would know that they're more geared towards being a musician than a writer if they know how to play various instruments?
You know, I don't, I've never fully classified myself even now as any one thing. I'm creative and, you know, I'd love to make a film, you know, that's sort of in me still. I'd love to write a novel. I don't know if I'll get the guts to do it. Maybe I hope one day I will. I love books. I've always been obsessed with it. I just, you know, it's just creating and sort of letting the creative process happen, and it tends to guide you more than you guide it, as long as you allow yourself to be open and just give yourself permission to do it. It just sort of finds you. I don't know how much I decide. It's more, I have to force myself to not be too critical and hard on myself and just make things, which can be really hard sometimes, but you do that and then it sort of just kind of happens.
So is it
true?
It's
a mysterious process, you know?
So is it true? Well, it's a mysterious process for the gifted such as yourself. I don't go in the shower. I don't go in the shower like Paul McCartney or John Lennon. I can't remember which one. But they're in the shower and all of a sudden they write a whole song in their head. And then I've heard weird things that people wake up in the middle of the night and they start whistling a tune and then they have to
write
it.
That happens.
Is that really true? I've heard that and I'm like, is that true?
I've dreamt a song. One song I wrote, I fully dreamt it, woke up and wrote it. It was the weirdest thing ever in the world. It's
what
just
song
weird.
Is that?
It's not like it's actually on my first record. It's called Color. Color. Yeah, I dreamt in color. Usually, you dream in black and white. You know.
That's amazing.
The song sort of happened, and even to the. I mean, now that I'm actually writing and I'm working on some new stuff, and I almost every day I wake up singing one of the songs I'm writing, you know,
is
kind of
work.
It's like your mind is working through it almost. Your subconscious is sort of like munching at it.
Right.
So,
well, I was just wondering if that was really true. I just have to ask everybody about that because it's amazing. I just don't. I'm always fascinated with people who can write music to. I mean, to come up with the words, if I was forced with a gun to my head, I could probably sit down and write something that rhymed. But then to hear actual notes and music to it, it's not happening for me. I'd love to be able to do that, but it doesn't come naturally. And that's when you know that's not for you, I would imagine. But it's very frustrating for people. I've heard people who really, really, really want to be singer-songwriters, but they say they go through, for lack of a better word, writer's block. And I think, I wonder if they really should be on that path, because most of the musicians that I've talked to, they say it just flows constantly. Do you find that it flows constantly, or do you also have writer's block, per se?
You know, writer's block is always a great question. I kind of, it does flow constantly, but it's dependent on if I'm willing to listen to it. You know, it's a weird way to say it, but I sit down every day almost and write, you know, new songs every day that I just kind of come out of me. And I don't do it consciously. It really does come out of something else, like a subconscious or God, you know, kind of just seeping through you. And you just sort of press record, and that's my writing process. I just write about 5 or 6 songs and sort of record them and then come back to them and see which ones were, you know, if there's anything good there, basically.
So you're constantly so it could be that you're almost in a trance on a daily basis, right?
It's kind of trancey, it is. But I think the key is just letting go and not trying to control the process. I think whenever I do that, that's what writer's block is because I'm getting in my way and I'm trying to write a certain kind of song, or I have some, like, you know, need for success, so I need to write this amazing song, and then it's just never going to come. You know, you can't think backwards. You have to just sort of let it go and just write, because anybody could sit down and just write something, and that's all it is. You just sit down and you just write, and you do your best, and then you come back to it and see if it worked out or not. And oftentimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is everything that you write in your mind, oh, this is definitely my finest piece, or do you say, ah, that's crap, or, you know?
Once a week, if I work the whole week and every day I just spend a lot of time, you know, I might come up with a song, maybe two, if I'm lucky, that I really feel are worth it for me at this point, you know? I go through a lot of material. I'd say 1 out of 100, maybe, are songs that I stick with.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, at least you're writing every day. Now, a question for you. With you saying you do the trance and the channeling and stuff, which is your artistry and your gift, being alive and being in the moment. Now, how do we phrase this delicately? I have heard so many musicians, well, all right. Oh, God, this is so uncomfortable to talk about, but I want honest opinions. The musicians previously, a lot of them really rely and depend on things to, let's say, enhance their creativity. You know what I mean? Like drugs and alcohol. And they literally can't be their most creative without smoking the ganja, getting a little Mary Jane up in there, or being an alcoholic. It's just like some writers, you know, Charles Bukowski didn't do his best work. Now, do you feel that, and I'm not going to ask you your personal business, but do you feel that you really need to do that? Does it do something really where it opens you up and you can do more of a channeling into your inner emotions to be able to create? Or do you think that's just an excuse for people to throw down a damn cocktail?
You know, I think what it is I personally always think stone cold sober whenever I'm writing, because I find, you know, if I'm under the influence of anything, it kind of actually gets in my way. But I understand the need to lose your inhibitions, because that's really linked to creativity. Is you can't think. You have to lose your inhibitions. You have to just go. No thinking, just go. You know, it really is just that visceral sort of, you know, write or record or just sing. Just sing what's in your heart at that moment. Just sing it. And I can see why people, you know, rely on, you know, getting drunk, basically, because that's exactly what it does. Or, you know, drugs, too. It's exactly what it does. But what I do think it also does is it sort of, I've tried to write songs drunk. It just isn't pretty. I mean, you're adding obstacles as well, I think. You know, you're adding, you know, your mind's just not operating, you know, in its peak condition. So you're not at your best at the same time. That maybe you don't have the inhibitions. So.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fine line, because I don't really, I've always been confused about that, because you hear about all these great artists that created their best work when they were three sheets to the wind or high as a kite. And, you know, you're like, well, maybe dropping some acid was the way to go, because we don't have any good music like we did with back in the day, like Led Zeppelin. And I mean, they would go, you would be hard pressed to find a song these days that went past what, 1-2.5 minutes. I mean, back then they would just Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, you know, they were high as a damn kite, and that was some really like masterpieces. Their solos would go on and on and on. But you really, and the Beatles as well, you didn't really matter. It doesn't matter, because every second of their music took you on a journey. It was almost like you were going on a trance. I don't know how it worked.
I would say I believe that there's amazing music being made now. I'm not sure. I think the frustration is more what the market and the music label sort of stamp with their approval and what gets kind of pushed out there. If anything, I think there's more music, definitely, but there's so much great music coming out now. They just might not be, you know, famous or on the radio. It's sort of like a lot of indie. There's a lot of indie acts that are doing really cool things.
That's a good point that I wanted to. You brought up a great point. There are, I believe, that there are many, many musicians, such as yourself, people who are really creating great stuff, which is not going to fit in the radio time. We'll just call it radio time. And my question is, well, ultimately, in order to become famous, you do have to fit in radio time. We'll put air quotes on that. How do you, as a musician, write the songs that you want to write without worrying about keeping it under a certain amount of minutes? How do you deal with that as an artist?
You know,
do you
I
worry
just
about
that? In the beginning, I kind of did, because everybody tells you need to worry about it.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You know, it's sort of like, well, that's 4 minutes. That, you know, you need to cut 10 seconds off.
Yeah,
like, I don't think anybody's really thinking about 10 seconds when they're listening to the song. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's about the song. And I definitely, over the years, it's definitely more and more about the song. It's less and less about any rules or anything. I think sometimes in the beginning you need some rules, because you need some, you know, the goal is to get to the heart of the listener. You're trying to get to them, and but you do need some sort of framework. You know, people, you can't just throw everything at them at once. You know, people can't take it. And you learn your sort of framework and what works the best to get to somebody. But
how do you resolve that as a musician who, obviously, when you create a song and it is a longer piece, say a 5-minute song, do you you know, how
I'm
do you
writing one of those?
Yeah, for your in-depth and up personal, I'm just wondering how you handle that. If a label were to come to you and say, I would love to sign you, but I need to cut down, these songs all need to be cut. Is that something, how does a musician deal with that? What is your advice to the musicians? Because eventually, if they are signed to a label, their stuff is obviously going to have to be radio compromise. What a lot of people, I've had musicians, which you're not going to believe this, I've had musician friends who were approached by labels who wanted to sign them, and they actually turned the label down because they said they would not compromise their music. And where are you on the road? How do you make that decision between keeping your art form the way you want it and deciding, you know, I think I'm going to compromise because I want to move my career to the next level?
Well, I think at the end of the day, if there's anything I've learned, is that you have to love what you're doing. And if you're compromising things because somebody's telling you to compromise them, and not because you agree with it or you understand what they're saying or you think it would be more effective that way, or you like it better that way, then there's a problem. You're not being the artist that you are. You have to go by your own compass. I mean, no label can save anybody or tell, nobody's going to sit around and tell you all the perfect things to do.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work like that. You have to follow your own compass and your own heart. That's what I'm always trying to do. I'm always trying to figure that one out too, because
you want to be
effective at the same time.
Exactly, because you want to move to the next level, but you just it's your art, and you don't want anybody touching it, and so it's a whole turmoil. I would imagine it goes on.
Yeah, by effective, I mean reaching your audience, like really getting to somebody. You know, like how do you really do write a really good song?
Exactly,
you know, how do you really get there?
And
that's
true, because
what I'm concerned with.
It's true, because you can't have the damn chorus, which most of the songs these days, oh my God, you just keep playing the chorus over and over, and you've got like 2 or 3 lines of verse, and what are you going to do? Now, I might be using these words ineffectively. I think chorus is the thing that keeps repeating himself, like, you know, push in the bush or whatever the course is.
I love that.
And then you got like a couple lines and the story goes nowhere, and you just and most of the songs are known for the yo 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 baby pop come here.
Well, I think we've gone I do think the market's gotten lost, personally. That's how I feel, you know, on the radio. There's some great stuff that comes out, and you're like, wow, that, thank God, you know, there's something.
Yeah,
but I do think, for the large part, we're a little lost.
Adam Lambert, he's the greatest thing that's come out for me. But you know what?
I don't know his stuff that well.
Oh, my God. Oh, he was on American Idol. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He, if I could recommend any song that you want to listen to, it is his revisited version of If I Can't Have You by Yvonne Elliman. If you hear that, oh, my God, you're going to need a cocktail, a cigarette, and a part for sure. Now, you know what? I want people, because we keep talking about how great you are, and I want people to hear a clip from your latest album. Now, your latest album is that's Hermitage, and that's coming out on November 17th. And when we say coming out, where is that going to be? Where can we find your...
Well, I'm on my own label. So on the Tuesday, we're going to be selling these sort of special edition box sets. And then probably in a week or two, it's just going to show up on iTunes. So you can actually get the MP3.
Cool! You know, what about CD Baby? Are you on CD Baby too?
I am on CD Baby. This record, because the physical thing of it will only be available as a box set. I'm sort of kind of, if I'm going to put a CD out, I want to make it special and I want to make it personal. So that's sort of become very important for me. And if you really want the music, you can go online, obviously, and just get it. So they would
go to SachaSackett.com and they can buy it directly from your website. So CD, when you said box set, I thought you were including your other albums, Alabaster Flesh, Shadowed, and Lovers and Leaders. Too,
Lovers and Leaders. No, it's that album, but there's like a little note for me. There's going to be some cool little items in there, and it'll be a little...
Well, see, you know what? I want you to have a future box set and include all of those and make it a real box set. And then you got to put a poster in there of you signed and scantily clad, preferably. And there you go.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
And then we'll have it back like it was in the 70s, the way I liked it, right? You would get an album and stuck inside would be a Donny Osmond poster. I loved it. Or Sean Cassidy. You don't get any damn posters now. Well, we're going to listen to a clip. It is called Running Away, and this is the latest clip from Sacha Sackett's album that's available on November 17th from his Hermitage album. And Ronan, if you could take it away for me, baby, let's hear Sacha Sackett.
On the road,
your voice. You have a totally different voice than when you sing. I hear the European. I hear my Christopher, my love, Christopher. I hear the European sound. I hear it sounds a little bit like Modern Talking. That's a European group. Not many people know who they are, but you sound so European. You're Sacha Sackett. You're creating your own sound, but your sound is so diverse. It just transcends all the nations. You are fantastic. That's it. I'm going on Facebook, and I'm going to become a fan. I am the new Sacha Sackett fan. Oh, that is so
good.
And you know what? It's so soulful, and it's so deep, and you can just feel your emotions. And may I say that you are not doing the ganja. This is really this is you, all you, clear headed and free. Am I right?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow, that is fantastic. You are so good. No, I am very, very serious. I recommend you. I know you have a fan page on Facebook, I would imagine.
Yeah, of course.
So if people, I know after they heard that song, that's it. Everybody's going to be running to the computer looking you up. So if you go to Facebook, you can type in, I would imagine, Sacha Sackett, and become a fan. And his album is available November the 17th, Hermitage. And again, I have no idea what that title is, but we've got 3 minutes if you want to tell me how that happened.
Hermitage, you know, it comes from being a hermit, basically, running away, the title track.
You sound like a hermit. You sound like you're out pumping the town up every night.
I'd been touring with Lovers and Leaders for a while, and I just needed to get away, and I ran off to this cabin by myself and sort of shut off the world for a while and wrote these songs, and I ended up going back to the same cabin and recording them.
So. Wait a minute. I'm seeing a pattern now. You've got alabaster flesh. You feel like you're being shadowed. And lovers and leaders. And then you become a hermit. There's a whole 007 thing going on here. I'm seeing a whole different side of you now. But, yeah, so sometimes you do. So, like a writer, you do have to go off to the cabin, per se, and write your thing. Do you feel this is your best work, or is that yet to come?
So far, I always feel, you know, whatever the new thing I'm making is the best thing I could ever make.
That's a good answer, right? That's a good answer. I was trying to trick you and just saying, well, you know, it's good, but buy this one, and then next album, you got to buy that one, because that one's going to be my best work. Well, I think anyone who heard that is definitely hooked. And when they go to your website, SachaSackett.com, they're going to hear, oh, what's the title of that song? Oh, God, I have to know the title. The one
that
on your website.
I think it's The Prodigal. I believe that was the first one on the website.
Oh, that is magical. Oh, when you hear it, you just feel like you just want to sway, and you want to get some wild turkey, and you I tell you, if nobody did drugs or alcohol before when they listen to your music, they got to have a cocktail, because it makes you feel so mad. It makes you feel like you want to just groove and sway. It really, listening to it, and it makes sense. Every one of your songs makes sense. It's not a random psychobabble rambling on, talking about, you know how some songs are so, they're novel songs, and they go on and on and on and on, and it's me, 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 me. Well, your songs tell a story, and it's more of a universal thing. So I highly recommend everybody checks out Sacha Sackett, and I want to thank you so much for being the great guest that you are, and I want you to please, please, please come back. Tell Steve Levine of The Grapevine that you want to come back on when you want to promote your next album. But I want a signed copy of the next one. I'll pay for it, but I want you to sign it, and I want you to stick a picture in there, and you know what I want you to wear, right?
Well, I'll bring the photo, and I'll come in the studio, and I'll sign anything you want.
Oh, I love you. Oh, well, see, now you're going to get me all riled up now. I'm going to tell my husband to take extra time. the show. I really appreciate it. SachaSackett.com, Hermitage, coming out November 17th, CD Baby, and iTunes. Get it today. Thank you so much for being a guest. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week on Question Reality. Bye, gorgeous.
Bye, sweetie. Thanks.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.